Any health-related information on the following show provides general information only. Content presented on any show by any host or guest should not be substituted for a doctor's advice. Always consult your physician before beginning any new diet, exercise, or treatment program.
Welcome to Accelerated Health Radio on W4HC Radio, where you can learn to accelerate your body, mind, and spirit to reclaim the true potential that exists within you through cutting-edge wellness tools and modalities. Here's your host, Sarah Banta.
Welcome to Accelerated Health Radio. I'm your host, Sarah Banta, and I'm a health coach, natural supplement expert, and a busy mom of three teenagers. I believe that your body does want to and is capable of rebuilding and healing itself, regardless of what chronic disease you may have. And I'm here for you to answer your questions and bring you innovative and cutting-edge technology and health solutions to empower you and your ability to reach your optimal state of health. I was first introduced to our guest, Dr. Gary Forsman, through the amazing L. Russ, who I've had on my show three times now, talking about thyroid health and confidence in her two books, co-authored by Dr. Forsman, The Paleo Thyroid Solution, which I highly recommend for everybody, and her other book, Confident as Fuck. If you missed our first interview all about hormones, you definitely want to hear it. I hate listening to myself talk, but my interview with Gary is one I've actually re-listened to twice because he put so many good nuggets in there. Dr. Forsman is the only internist on the Central Coast with extensive research training during medical school as a part of the Junior Honors Medical Program. He ranked among the top in the nation on his internal medicine board exams. He has the best and most comprehensive internal medicine training to be found, including serving as a clinical professor who has trained other physicians at the University Medical Center. He incorporates alternative therapies and has expanded his training in many symptoms of healing, not just Ayurvedic medicine, meditation, stress management, massage, but also botanical, orthomolecular, and functional medicine systems. Middle Path Medicine was founded in 2008 as Dr. Forsman continued to expand his knowledge base. His precision scientific mind combined with a holistic and integrative perspective gives him that edge to diagnosing his patients and also helping him synthesize the finest healing modalities for each individual. Welcome, Dr. Forsman. How are you this morning?
Wow, that's such an intro. Well, thank you. I'm doing well. Thank you. it takes things from way back. Junior Honors Medical Program was like 1980 something, 86 or something like that. That's so funny.
I feel like people need to know the story of somebody and where they're coming from because a person's story says so much.
I agree.
So today, I mean, people who follow me and are on my website, Accelerated Health Products, know that my motto is detox, reset, and rebuild the immune system. And you've got to detox in order to rebuild. And so I really wanted to focus on detox, and I couldn't think of a better person to do it. But at the same time, I feel like I'm constantly detoxing. I use a foot bath, I do liver pills, I do kidney support, and my husband always makes fun of me saying, this isn't normal. We shouldn't have to detox so much. And is it all worth it? And I tell him our world is so much more toxic than it ever was when we were growing up. And so just to stay ahead of the game, you have to.
You're so correct. You know, the most systems of healing, and this is from Ayurvedic medicine, Chinese medicine, even European spa therapy, focused on detoxification as one of the most important proactively healthy things you could do. And this is in a world before we've added umpteen billion toxins to it, right? And yeah, cell phones and information overload and so many things. So, you know, there is no question that the need for detoxification is like probably, you know, there's water and like oxygen and then let's go to detox or something like that. You know? Mm-hmm. And so yes. And what everybody should understand is every culture has detoxification at its forefront. Now, obviously, how you did it in different cultures. So when I trained with Dr. Chopra in the Panchakarma, the five actions included some things that most people don't want to do, including the bastis, which were herbalized enemas and beyond. So there's so many ways to detoxify. It also can be a little confusing for people in terms of how to do it. And so that's why it's great to have this talk.
And we're going to dive into so much, and I can't wait for the how-to at the end. But right. Let's first talk about where do the toxins come from? Because it's really easy for someone to say, well, I know that I shouldn't be eating heavy metals, or I shouldn't be, taking in the auto exhaust and maybe the pesticides, and people are thinking about that a little bit, but then there's radiation and there's our cell phone and different types of toxins. So let's first talk about where they come from.
Wow. Yes. I mean, heavy metal should be limited to Led Zeppelin, maybe Guns N' Roses and a few others. which of course are good to you. So we do need to clarify what we mean by that. But no, there's so many forms of toxins. Just as a brief aside, that's where your functional medicine doctor comes in, and especially for gastrointestinal health, we can do urine for heavy metal testings. We can do stool analyses to look for abnormal balances of bacteria and fungi, looking for toxins that are coming from the inside, meaning from your abnormal balances of bacteria in your intestinal tract. We can look for food sensitivities, which is another form of toxin. So there's things that are just in our daily exposures that you should be aware of and have a conversation with your doctor just for these things. Because many times when you're seeing your doctor, you're there for some acute illness and we don't talk about detox. So have a visit with your functional medicine doctor, of course, about detoxification. Most Western MDs are not taught in this. The most they know about detoxification has to do with opiates and that kind of stuff. And so, but the main source of these toxins really come from outgassing from our own homes and from our carpets and from our furnitures and from our, even from our shelvings and things. So outgassing from products, from our plastics, and especially true for women, the thing I'm most concerned about is what they're putting on their skin. So any and all, when we talk about an organic lifestyle, it really should start with your skincare products. I'm talking about from shampoos to conditioners to, of course, cosmetics and anything else you put on your skin. We know that your body has a system to prevent toxins from coming in if you're eating them. You have salivary enzymes, you have gastric acid, you have pancreatic enzymes, you have a liver. So at least when you're eating a toxin, you have some defense mechanism, but when you put it on your skin, it's right into the bloodstream. So organic lifestyle, such an important concept in everything we do. So yes, it's from all of our products. And of course, in the air, I live in the coast, and I don't live in the more toxic, the Fresnos and the Bakersfield. Sorry, those are areas around that have higher levels of pollutants from their industrial area, as well as from agricultural. But we do have significant agricultural toxins, pesticides in the air, herbicides in the air. These toxins, unfortunately, really are everywhere. My neighbor just about a week or two ago, you think I still shouldn't use my Roundup? And that's like, no, you really shouldn't. Take it to the dump in the toxic area. Stop using it. And I think she used it still. And so anyway, so they're everywhere, people. And we're not trying to make it sound, we certainly don't want any more paranoia in the world than I think exists already. and so there's a lot of toxins in the world. That's why so much effort should be placed on detoxifying, because it's really the most common products that we're eating. And of course, if you're eating fast foods, etc., the hydrogenated oils become trans fats, and that's a form of toxin. So it doesn't even have to be a heavy metal. It can just be something you find in a French fry.
Something I want to touch on is there's multiple theories that I've heard just with the current threat that we're all facing. The areas like Wuhan, China, and in Italy and in New York City, look at their air quality. Now, right. Is there a connection between their air quality and the rising rates of the the virus. And it obviously, if your immune system is suppressed by toxins, it's not going to be able to fight off any type of virus or bacteria. So it's really just, it's making your body work that much harder. And then the other thing I want to touch on, it's so funny you say cosmetics, because as a female, when I was starting down this health path, I was detoxing and I was eating clean and I was doing all the right thing, but I was still using the toxic cosmetics because I thought, oh, this isn't going to hurt me. It's just on the top of my skin. But what is the first thing that happens to me when I actually do a liver detox, which I'm doing right now, is my skin breaks out. And that's because the toxins are trying to come out of my largest organ, which is my skin. And then as soon as I finish the flush and get rid of the gallstones and liver stones, my skin clears up. My eyes, my whites of the eyes get wider. And but it's so interesting how your skin is that barrier, but it tells you so much about what's going on inside your body.
It really does. And so rashes are your body's, you know, the toxins leaving the body. So there's the one system of homotoxicology, which is kind of homeopathy with a different bent to it, which it's really trying to help your body release toxins. And, you know, it's kind of like the Shrek form of medicine. We're better out than in, you know. And so if things are leaving your body, it's a good sign. Unfortunately, when, like, for instance, and again, especially for women, if you're detoxing, sometimes it comes out as rashes or worse yet, acne. And of course, when it comes to acne, all anybody thinks of is suppressing it, right? Because they don't want to look ugly. And it's actually a good thing. It's kind of tough to sell that one because it is toxins leaving your body, but who really wants to have zits, if so to speak? But it is a good sign, people, to release toxins. And that's why even childhood exanthematous diseases, childhood illnesses that have a rash are a sign of toxins leaving your body. And this is a training of your immune system as well, too. That's why the suppression of all childhood illnesses, as it seems like a good thing, it's actually really a way of not educating our immune system as well to a very common toxin known as a virus. And so these exanthems, these rashes, are a great sign that our body is removing the toxins, even if it comes with some discomfort. So that's the thing. Detoxification always comes with some discomfort, especially for people who have a higher toxic burden, who this might be a new subject to, by the way. People, as they're transitioning away from Western medicine, they think all natural medicine is nothing but, like, you know, chakra balancing and gems or something, which are wonderful, by the way. But no, when you get into detoxification, it's like, damn, that doesn't feel that good. Well, no, sometimes detoxification doesn't. And that's why it's that go slow aspect to it is such an important thing. Because even when we're not using cosmetics, we have such a high toxic burden I, for instance, have this Pitta body type where 20 years ago when I started doing detox on a regular basis, about 3 days in, I would spike a high fever. And that would be one of my signs of toxins leaving my body, was a high fever. And no, that did not feel good. Now, that doesn't happen anymore, fortunately, because I'm a consistent detoxer, probably not as consistent as I should be. The Ayurvedic system is a seasonal detox. I mean, there's a change of the seasons. Here in California, that would be never. You're just supposed to detox with the change of each season, folks, is where I was going with that. So I try to make sure that I do it at least twice a year. I'm pretty good at 3 times a year, which is obviously not the recommended 4 times a year, the 4 seasons, but if we can do a detox, a set detox, and that doesn't mean we don't have daily activities to help us detoxify, people, but a set detox where we take at least a week out, like 2 to 3 times a year, such an important way of kind of resetting your body and resetting your programs, resetting your diet. It's such a great thing.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the signs that I have. I usually, like during this liver detox, I will get a rash over my liver. So you can actually see the toxins trying to come out. And if I also do a glutathione spray over my stomach area, I will get sometimes a rash because it is letting my liver dump the toxins and it is triggering some sort of detox. But let's go through some of the symptoms of toxicity that you will see that people can look out for.
Right. And this is important for everybody, is that you go to see the doctor and hopefully the lab tests are okay, and they say, well, you don't have a disease. And so toxicity is the dis-ease or discomfort that precedes disease. And so we both mentioned our body types, how we manifest even toxicity sometimes. So the first stages of going from being perfectly healthy, vibrantly, energetically well, towards disease are this accumulation of toxins that occur. Now, remember, just breathing oxygen does have some toxicity that comes with it. So as long as we're in a human form, we're going to be building up toxin. As long, you know, the old saying is, and as long as we're not only drinking the purest of water, breathing the purest of air, and only meeting enlightened individuals, we're probably getting toxic. So that's all of us, okay? So all of us are getting toxic, and those symptoms, of course, will be unique to us, but it's just the most basic things: fatigue, achiness, sleep quality that's poor, and that can be too much or too little sleep, by the way, and depends on that person. So achiness, toxicity, symptoms such as constipation or diarrhea, it really depends on how our body, but we're just not feeling well. And so the person who's prone to getting heavy will get heavier. The person who's prone to becoming too thin will get thinner. Their allergies will get worse. Their asthma will get worse. Their menstrual symptoms will get worse. I mean, it's almost anything you can think of. Almost everybody with PMS has some degree of toxicity. Okay, just using that as an example, premenstrual syndrome or premenstrual dysphoric disorder is more complicated than this, folks. I'm just saying is that there is going to be a toxicity component to it. And whatever symptom you get, for instance, me, it's going to be achiness. Okay, so achiness, just general achiness. Then I'll know that I'm a little toxic. It's right. It's been a little while since detox. It's the dis-ease, discomfort that precedes disease. And the good news is most of the times we're not diseased. The bad news is if you just see a doctor for fear, I'm tired and achy and I'm not sleeping well and, I have headaches and bloating and you don't feel well, okay? But you don't have a disease that for the doctor to give you anything, so they'll usually just give you an antidepressant.
Right. Which is toxic.
Exactly. So they'll give you an antidepressant, which actually usually suppress some of your body's detox systems, by the way. So, when it's really interesting. Almost all of them have some negative effect on your body's ability to detoxify. And so that's why those general symptoms of toxicity are not a good indication for an antidepressant. By the way, for you, those of you, of course, there's people who benefit from those medicines. But the studies are very clear that it's something like 17% of people who are on an antidepressant, it's probably a wise thing. That means 83% are taking it for just the doctor saying is so that they don't feel so bad about feeling so bad. And that misses the point. So really, unfortunately to everybody, all the signs of toxicity will start off with general things like achiness, tiredness, those types of things. And of course, what you're prone to is the next step of disease developing, okay, which is if you're prone to migraines, you get more migraines. If you're prone to constipation, or more diarrhea. Remember, it's unique for each person. So you'll start to notice, and those symptoms can be your teachers. So this is a very important thing. Once you've done a detox and you feel better, you start to recognize when you're getting toxic again. Mm-hmm. And it could be achiness. It could be, there's so many things that it could be, but that symptom now will tell you, ooh, I really need to work on, well, of course, eliminating toxins. Of course, we all need to minimize the toxins coming into our body, whether that's diet or healthy relationships, especially the healthy relationship with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's its own subject, of course.
So I've gone through a couple things. And last time we talked a lot about hormones. And I mentioned I'm 44. And my hormones are changing and I don't like it. And we talked a little bit about how estrogen is a fat storing hormone. And so here I was trying to figure out, is it hormonal or is it detox? Well, I did a kidney flush and I started losing some water weight and then my hormones started to get back on track. And so there's definitely an interrelation, but it made me think about the role of fat as far as toxins go and the tissues, because it also triggered a memory of when I was loaded in lead, mercury, and aluminum. When I first got my heavy metals test done, I went through that detox, actually an IV detox of heavy metals, and I got tested 1 month in, and my levels were higher because all of those toxins were pulled out of my tissues and now in my bloodstream. So it was tested higher as my body was detoxing them. But of course, I felt worse.
Right.
So can maybe we can talk a little bit about what your body's doing as it's detoxing.
Wow. And so, so detox, your body is set up to detoxify. So first and foremost for everybody is, even though this can sound complicated, just know that our bodies have great inner wisdom, and you can detoxify simply, and we can do things even more complicatedly. Doctors tend to make things too complicated. So these signs of toxicity, almost all of us have. And so what do we do to detoxify? Now, one part of it that I'm sure you've had other conversations with people is minimizing incoming toxins. Mm-hmm. And that's the organic lifestyle, healthy relationships. That's its own subject. Now, how do we improve the other part of the equation? Because you can't detoxify if you minimize your toxicants. How do we get those out of our body? And classically, your body has this thing called a phase one detoxification system, a phase two detoxification system. There's even a phase three, which has to do with your body's ability to excrete these toxins. The phase one detoxification, and when doctors who are functional medicine doctors give you certain things, they're meant to stimulate your body's ability to get these toxins out of your fat. So your body stores toxins and fat because fat is, metabolically speaking, as about as quiet an organ system as you have, meaning it'll store the fat away from where things, it's not, that's a good reservoir for putting in toxins. So and this is very important for everybody. Once you start to lose weight, you mobilize toxins as well. It doesn't have to be chelation programs. Mm. So all those people out there who try to lose weight, the adipose tissues are being broken down, at least, and you're losing some weight. You're releasing toxins into your bloodstream. That release of toxins dramatically decreases your basal metabolic rate, and guess what? You stop losing weight. So one of the greatest rate-limiting steps to weight loss, which is a very common problem in our world, is being toxic. And it's an interesting thing because the toxins affect your metabolic rate, and then you feel bad once you detoxify, then you probably go back to a comfort food, and then you get into these yo-yo diet syndromes, right? Mm-hmm. So the first step is to make sure we're healthy, because that's why when I see people for weight loss, it was a common thing. You got to get healthier to lose weight. And we balance the hormones, just so we talked about last time. And of course, balancing the endocrines are important, but starting some detoxification, of course, we have to start with gastrointestinal health, which is its own subject. But to stimulate the phase one system, there's some very simple nutrients, B vitamins, the glutathione, et cetera, to get the toxins mobilized. Okay. Then you have to have things to help your body conjugate them, which means glom onto them. Because the first step in detoxifying actually activates an inactive molecule to make it more active so that you can bind to it and get rid of it. That first step, if you're not balancing your ability to detoxify, you get sicker and sicker. So that's why doing detox with someone is such an important, somebody who can guide you like yourself, Sarah, in terms of helping people do product, nutritional supplementations to help their body clean things. Because you activate the toxin, then you have to glom onto it. It's called conjugation to a variety of nutrients, and then you have to excrete it. So when people aren't, when they're trying to cleanse themselves, they often don't have the right nutrients around to get rid of the toxins, and they can make themselves sicker. That's why it's really important to give yourself certain nutritional supplements while you're detoxifying.
Can I ask you a question real quick? Because this is a question my daughter was asking me. She says, well, Mom, if someone's constipated and they're not going to the bathroom, where does that poop go?
Right.
So, and I said, well, all those toxins then get reabsorbed in the body. So it's so important to be pooping.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, these crazy things of what is the best way to detoxify? And you start out, It's water and exercise. Okay, so first, best way, the solution to pollution is dilution. Okay, so almost everybody's heard that your body weight divide by two, body weight in pounds, excuse me, divide by two. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you should be drinking about 100 ounces of water a day. Now, that's a lot for many people, and they should build up to that. Otherwise, they feel like they're going to the bathroom all the time. But the solution to pollution is dilution. People, please hear that. Drink more water. That's one way to detoxify. Exercise. It sweats things out of you. So get more exercise. It's good for you, and it's a great system of detoxification. Get more exercise. Then you get into the basics. You gotta, you know, you gotta poop. And we all have a gastrocolic reflex. Sincerely, we should be pooping two or three times a day. At least shoot for once. You know, so that's why it's such an important thing, whether you use, you know, to get yourself going, probiotics, magnesium, Trifla. There's many supplements. But if my patients, they're getting lots of water, lots of exercise, they're eating their fruits and vegetables and getting as that as their fiber source, and they're still not pooping, we got to make sure they're pooping, because the last thing you want to do is mobilize more toxins so that they can get into your bile, get into your poop, and then just sit there for days at a time, because you're just going to reabsorb them, people. It's an ineffectual way of approaching it. And of course, you can increase excretion through your urine. I'm not saying different. That's a good elimination system. But your skin, your urine, your poop, we got to activate all these systems. So yes, pooping several times a day is actually healthy for us. And that's why most detox kits, by the way, or detox help, usually has some stimulant, when I say stimulant, some way of supporting the colon in terms of elimination. But yes, we've got to poop.
So there's one thing that we skipped over a little bit, and I really want to emphasize, is a lot of people in their 30s and 40s say, I'm eating the same thing I've been eating forever, and I can't lose weight. And the importance of detoxing for weight loss, because if they're eating the same thing, but you've got toxins that are held in the fat cells, can you talk about the connection between detoxing and weight loss?
It's huge. Okay, so, you know, when we go back into America and the weight gain epidemic, especially since 1980, it's been a lot of toxins in our body, by the way. So that has to do with the shift towards a higher carbohydrate diet and more processed foods, more sedentary activity. The weight gain epidemic is obviously a complicated issue. But during that time, we've thrown hundreds, if not thousands, of new toxic chemicals into the environment. We're basically unregulated, especially now in terms of what's going into our bodies. It's a higher toxic load that we've been exposed to it as ever. And here's the part, the more fat, the more toxins you can store there. So that when we have a lot of weight to lose, we have a huge toxic burden, and you cannot lose that weight unless you control insulin levels, which is nutritional and otherwise, that's a hormonal issue, and your body detoxifies. Once again, why is that? Because the release of toxins when somebody's trying to lose weight is the most important rate-limiting step in weight loss that exists. The reason people have so much trouble losing weight is they start to lose weight, they actually feel worse doing it, because it's a form of detoxification that when they're focusing on just losing weight and not detoxifying, they feel worse. When they feel worse, they go back to whatever behavior that comforts them, which is usually a comfort food for somebody with an obesity issue. And then it's a horrible cycle to get into. So that's why you focus on healthy nutrition, healthy digestion, healthy detoxification, and say, listen, the weight loss will come. We can't force this too hard, because it's just too difficult for people to do. And that's why for me, over the course of the years, you know, these programs are out there about these biggest losers, and they lose like something like 100 pounds on TV or something like that. It's a horrible way to lose weight. Is we should take little incremental weight loss steps to minimize the toxicity, 5 to 10 pounds at a time, maintain that weight loss and take steps, because the toxic burden, the ability. So if you do the weight loss in like say 3 month or 4 month intervals, you do a detoxification, you lose some weight, you maintain it, you do another detoxification. It makes each step of the weight loss, when I say easier. It makes it more doable. Weight loss is never easy for people, of course. I shouldn't say never, but for people with real weight issues, it's never easy. And so it's yes, everybody out there, detoxification is the key to weight loss, because you can't realistically do it without detoxifying, because you will feel badly enough at some point where you will go off whatever the diet is that you've chosen to get there. And many people, this is another thing they talk about, fasting for weight loss. Fasting is a wonderful spiritual practice. And I'm talking about more long-term fasting. It is a horrible way to lose weight, because it would be like having a really dirty house and trying to clean it without any cleaning solutions. That doesn't make any sense at all. Okay. That's fasting. Okay. So if you are pristine and clear and good fasting, wonderful for you, more of a spiritual practice than a detox practice. But if you have some detoxifying to do, please give your body the nutritional support to clean. I hope that makes sense.
It does. And I promote one. I've got a couple different detox bundles where one is a ketogenic bundle where it gives you a keto supplement to flip you into ketosis so the sugar cravings go away. So it makes it easier to make that dietary change. And then you've got the probiotics and then also the minerals and electrolytes to make sure you're hydrated and giving you the proper support and rebuilding the gut as you're detoxing. And people find that the detox symptoms are a lot less. And then also the importance of an iodine, but you have to do that slowly too, because that's detoxing the halogens out of your cells. And if you do it too fast, then you're going to feel really icky for it. So you've got to do this slow, and you have to take it personalized protocol depending on where your health is. You can either do it much faster or much slower. And that's where I tell people, you know, don't try to fast for 3 days. Maybe, you know, make sure you're having your three meals, but don't snack in between. Okay, maybe you're ready for two meals a day. And, you know, everyone's a little different. So let's get back.
I honestly believe that fasting is for people as they continue their journey, for healthier and healthier people who don't have as high a toxic burden. It's just so tough to do when you have a high toxic burden. I just, you know, we can all push ourselves through anything, people, but this is, you're in this for the long term, because you're going to keep toxifying again. So it's like, when are you done with the dishes? And the answer is, it seems like never in my household. You know, kids and everything else. Sorry. Anyway, so when are you done with detoxing? Well, yeah, like the laundry and like the dishes, it just keeps happening, folks. And so, you know, so just, you're in this for the long haul. You better make this doable, you know?
Exactly. Just what I was telling my husband, as I mentioned at the beginning of this, I said, you better get on board. Sometimes he'll come home and goes, should I just start smoking and drinking again? And I'm like, you try that for a week and let's see how you feel after being as clean as he is. And you go do you, and let's see, you're going to come back my way.
Absolutely. Well, you don't even have to do that. Once you start getting clear, you actually, you know, food sensitivities become more obvious to you, and you know, start to not notice those things, and you start to realize I don't need to test for things as much, because I can, if I pay attention to my body, and that, then you can. One brief story of a lady. She went through a detox. She went like a whole 30 program of detox, and she goes, and I started reintroducing things, and I could eat cereal and that didn't seem to bother me. And then I could eat dairy and that didn't seem to bother me. And she goes, and then I started eating sugar, and oh, that just knocked me over, but I was able to work right through that. and the beauty of that story, people, is you should just keep eating sugar. And the more you ate the sugar, the less toxic each time felt because of this emotional attachment to sugar.
Yeah.
And this is a very brilliant lady, by the way. And she goes, you know, now at the end of this, I do know what I need to really work on in the future, but I'm not quite ready to do it yet. You know, and so think how brilliant her process was, and that she really knows what she needs to work on. But also, once you start exposing yourself to these toxins, the first time it's like, ow. And you can work right through it, meaning we get exposed to these things day in and day out. And after a while, we just don't notice so much anymore. And so that's why most of those, the most avid anti-smokers tend to be former smokers, right?
Right. Well, the other thing I wanted to mention is that our organs, each organ is responsible for a different emotion. And the liver is known for holding anger and frustration. So I recommend I recognize in my own self, and believe me, my family tells me as well, as I'm doing a liver detox, that I tend to be very impulsive and a little more angry. And so I really have to watch myself, but I'm getting rid of those old emotions. And then at the end of it, it's like this huge emotional release, which is amazing.
Yeah. That's a brilliant thing for you to bring to everybody too, because you'll find that many of these emotions that we have are often linked to not only memories, of course, but they're linked to events in our body, and releasing them is such a healthy thing for us. And so, however, there's almost always turbulence whenever we release these things. And many people don't like to face turbulence. And so, when you notice that, the key is being conscious. Yes, we will all experience anger. That's why bilious anger is a term, right? So the liver is a heart, a storage place for not only so many heating types of things. So it's important for people, especially women, because men have been enculturated that anger is okay, and women sometimes not. So that it's not right for a woman to be angry. And these are enculturations, nothing to do with the truth, of course. And so, but they're less comfortable with it. So anger comes up, and then boof, the detox ends, because they don't want to deal with that because it's not right. It's a healthy thing, and it's a releasing thing. And yes, this is very important for dealing with emotional toxicity as well. It's really, I'm sorry, by saying that, I just want that detox goes so much deeper than just being about getting rid of, pesticide residues in our body and BPAs and BPSs, and getting rid of those things is important. It just goes so much deeper.
Absolutely. Well, let's get back to the phases. I want to touch, we touched on one and two, but how about let's go into phase three. What can you explain what phase three is?
You know, phase three is once you've activated the toxin, gutted from the fat cell into a place that your body can deal with it. Then phase two, once again, of course, is getting into a conjugated form, so it's less reactive and your body can get rid of it. Phase three is really about helping your body excrete it. And this is energy driven, really has a lot to do with the biliary system and some natural transporters that we have sitting in there. There's this thing called antiporters, your body's cells' willingness to kick out toxins and get, once you kick those toxins, especially into the bile, then the bile can, of course, go into the bowel movement, into the intestine. Then, of course, it can be absorbed and excreted through the kidneys. And of course, it can just pass right through the poop. So the phase three is a helping your body with excretion of things. And this is, like I said, primarily energy driven and involves a lot of different the B vitamins and CoQ10s, a variety of amino acids. Actually, most of the cruciferous vegetables are also good with phase three, not just phase two. Conjugation reactions as well too. So phase three, getting it actually out of your body, and thus also can be something where where people improve just binding agents, which really isn't phase three. Phase three is your body excreting things, but this is where we can use some of the clays and some of the modified citrus pectins and other things to bind to certain toxins in the intestinal tract so that we don't reabsorb them. And that's another phase on top of things, on top of phase one and phase two and phase three. So anything we can do to support getting rid of toxins is going to be such an important thing. And that's where, like you're saying with the bundles, there's homeopathic remedies that help with your body's elimination and excretion. That's really another thing that can be used there. The conjugation process tends to be more nutritional supplements and the cruciferuses and the greens and things like that. But many, many good things. And it doesn't all have to be detox kits like us doctors do. It's a really smart thing. I just want to tell everybody that, sorry, I don't know your specific bundles, but I'm going to assume you put them together as well as the Zymogens and other companies of the world that doctors like me do. I just telling the truth here. You have an intelligent way of approaching it along with a diet. But man, detoxification, it's good to have somebody help kind of hold your hand, have a product system that you do with it, because for people who are relatively new to it, it can be turbulent. Your symptoms can, whatever your symptoms are, can exacerbate for a few days. In European spa therapy, I'm just going to tell you, that I have read entire books that, you know, there are different spas for different forms of symptoms, different kinds of shrubberies and trees that they whack you with. You know, it's a bizarre system that you could go into in terms of European spa therapy. But the last chapter of one of these books was, you know what, if you don't get away from the wife and the kids and from everybody else like that, sorry, this is 19, that's the way it was said back then. And so if you don't get away from all those types of things, you're not going to detox, because we got to have you have perfect rest and have your body ability to go through this as well. So that's why it's actually nice, the systems of Panchakarma and Ayurvedic medicine. You go away to a spa and you do a week of detox where people are making your food for you and doing your laundry for you. So you have little other responsibilities. We take those cell phones away as much as we can. It's a whole thing to really dive into.
That's one thing I want to touch on, is just the radiation from all this technology. That is a toxin that we need to be detoxing from. Right. And I do have a thyroid and radiation detox bundle that is like no other. I've never seen anything like it, where it actually zeroes out the radiation in your body from non-ionizing and ionizing radiation. But of course, the first step is to get away from our cell phones, and that's not possible. So just minimize it as much as we can, and our computers and everything like that. But that is disrupting our DNA and is so toxic to our body. So it's something that people don't really put in the camp of what they need to detox from. They think of alcohol and bad food and all of that.
Right.
But that is something that you definitely want to keep in mind as far as detoxing. Let's talk about your thoughts on the overstimulation versus inhibition.
So, so let's look at a classic. So, for instance, you know, the classic imbalance that the doctors in functional medicine talked about is too much phase one stimulation, especially from things like caffeine. And then due to some nutritional deficiencies, we don't have enough conjugation. That's the phase two part of things we're talking about. This imbalance leads to a lot of free radical damage, oxidative stress for our body, those types of things. And so the biggest thing that usually is talked about is this kind of imbalance, overstimulation of phase one relative to phase two. And that's actually common. A lot of the things that will stimulate phase one, including things like nicotine, including caffeine. Caffeine, you know, so is something that should be moderated. But when we go into detoxification, like let's use that as a classic example for everybody, and I'll give my personal experience. Every time I used to do a detox, I would detox from coffee. I'm a coffee drinker, everybody. And that's a tough detox. And so, and then when you reintroduce things like coffee, how do you feel? And the answer is I feel well. I don't notice any of the toxicity that I get from the glutens and all the rest of the things that we could talk about. So the overstimulation from caffeine is especially talked about as a negative in the detox world. It's tough for me to evaluate that data because, you know, if you look at the number one brain nutrient of all time, it's coffee. The number one liver nutrient of all time is actually coffee. And I don't think it's the caffeine that's doing it. I think it's actually all the polyphenols. So is coffee actually one of the healthiest liver nutrients of all time? And the answer is yes. You can't actually find people who are alcoholics. You can't find one that drinks regular coffee and leads to liver transplant. It's that protective. Mm. So that's why when coffee gets listed as a toxicant for the liver, and this goes up from this overstimulation conversation, it's probably the most liver protective nutrient of all time. So even more than the milk thistles that go back to the Roman days, right? You know, so the Romans were giving milk thistle to help people drink more, right? Drink more alcohol, I'm talking about, those folks. And so there's nutrients that are very liver supportive. One of the things that are often listed as being bad for your liver, which is overstimulating phase one, is caffeine, which I believe can do it. But coffee is probably something that is balancing and healthy in the detoxification process, as long as the person listens to their own system and doesn't overdo it, which is a biggie for any of those things. So that's why, and I think the biggest reason why people have imbalanced detoxification is they don't eat enough, especially organic fruits and vegetables. And I'm sure you have this too, and we have it on our sites. You know, this is, I think, from the environmental working group, which nutrients are best, most important, the clean 15 versus the dirty dozen. I'm sure you guys know all about those, but which fruits and vegetables are best bought organic, and which ones it probably would be important, but it's not quite as important to buy organic. So we get all these nutrients into our body, the different fruits and vegetables. Those provide most of the conjugation substrates for phase two detoxification. And that's probably the best way to keep our ongoing detox processes healthy.
I agree. And it's interesting you bring up the coffee, because why do people drink it? Sometimes it stimulates their first bowel movement of the day, because the liver is dumping its toxins with that cup of coffee. And you just need to make sure that you aren't suffering from adrenal burnout or other things from overdoing it. And I'm a coffee drinker, but it's funny because with a liver detox that I'm doing now, I'm drinking a liver tea in the morning, and I can only drink so much liquid, and I'm actually I'm actually not missing my caffeine. So for some reason, my body's saying, thank you. This is giving me the energy, and go do your workout. So, you know, whatever that means, I'll take it. Well, okay, so far as phase two goes, when you're talking about inhibition, starving, fasting, malnutrition, these are things that you just are saying that you definitely want to stay away from and make sure you're taking in the proper nutrients. Yes. So let's talk about who should not be doing a detox.
Wow. You know, so many people come to me who are in the middle of cancer therapy, for instance. I heard you should detox. And I go, this is not the time. We've got to do a lot of supportive things. But the best answer to that is you want to treat any acute medical problem. So somebody's in the riddle of, say, a rheumatoid arthritis flare, and there's so much inflammation, treat that flare up before you try to detox. Because people, you're going to detox, you're going to exacerbate an underlying disease for the first few days. That's not smart when you're in the middle of a flare up of really any disease. Now, that would be especially true for heart disease. So you want to take care of acute medical problems first, and then make sure you go into the issues of detox later. So cancer is a relatively active cancer therapy is a relative contraindication. Active heart disease, meaning somebody who still has symptoms, it's not being handled. Recent surgeries, recent traumas, even because your body is so busy healing from that trauma, which could be a surgery, of course. Its metabolic energy needs to go towards healing, and then let its metabolic energy go towards detox later. Hopefully that makes sense. You know, pregnant women, of course, your body's doing a lot to begin with. Give it a break. I mean, come on. Making a whole new life form here. How about a detox? Come on. Lighten up.
Exactly. You know? Well, I've done it three times. I was not detoxing during
See, exactly. You know, it's a lot of work. Come on, you know. Be obviously conscious, pregnant women, of course, and healthy in terms of what you're eating and things like that. But don't try to do a detox in the middle of that. But it's a very important for everybody. We all need to be detoxing regularly, but not in the face of any acute illness per se.
Well, Dr. Forsman, we are almost out of time. And before we go, I want to make sure you can tell everybody where to find you, because you are so full of knowledge, and there truly aren't. And I don't know of another medical doctor that does what you do and has your knowledge.
Well, thank you. You can find me at www.middlepathmedicine.com. That's been my business for many years now. I've been an integrative practitioner for decades, actually. But Middle Path Medicine, we have, I think, a wonderful website that we're always adding to. That's the best place to find me.
Thank you. And we're definitely going to have you on again and talk about so much more. We've already talked about what that would be, but I am so appreciative of your time. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today. If I can help you with your health issues or what type of detox protocol would make sense for you, you can contact me directly at sarah@acceleratedhealthproducts.com. And I'm happy to put together a personalized protocol for you. I know sometimes it's hard to know where to start. And you can follow me on Facebook and Instagram under Accelerated Health Products and my YouTube channel under Accelerated Health Radio. And you can also find me and this episode on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, Pandora, or whatever podcast platform you subscribe to. I'm also doing Accelerated Health Bites, where I do short informational videos on health topics and solutions that you ask about. If you liked what you heard today, please hit the subscribe button and share with a few friends who may need my help. As you share my channel, it helps me help more people like you and bring more cutting-edge guests on my show like Dr. Forsman. Next week's interview is with Jason Thomas from the original Peely Nut Company, Hunter Gatherers. Please send me your questions and topics you'd love to hear. You can find the supplements, my supplements for detox, at acceleratedhealthproducts.com, and you can use coupon code W4HC20 for 20% off site-wide. And thanks again for joining us here on Accelerated Health Radio. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today on W4HC Radio for Accelerated Health Radio with Sarah Banta. Make sure to tune in every week at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to uncover your highest potential through natural and innovative wellness modalities.